With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's my check! It's my check! The podcast by Mike Myers! And we're clear.
Hey, horny babies, you're listening to Mike Check with Cameron James and Alexi Toliopoulos, the only known podcast in existence to go through the entire filmed, literary, televised,
And other
works of funny man and famous Canuck, Mike Myers.
Yes, he's a very funny boy, and we love him very much. And because we are nearing the end of phase one of Mike Check, we have decided that we should check into our Parallel Universe podcast, Carving It Up. Where, wouldn't it be weird if we talked about Dana Carvey for a little bit instead?
And you guys, you've listened to two episodes of this Carving It Up before. You're coming in for your third. You might remember a thing or two. I mean, this is an alternate universe.
Yeah,
this
things are a little strange.
I mean,
there.
The character Alexi plays is a little kooky and a little weird.
He's a little weird, yes. He's not unlike myself, I might say.
That's true. I don't think there's anything else we need to say. We've got a great guest, Tim Hewitt, on for that, so that'll be
He's very funny, and he really gave me a run for my money during these episodes.
So strap those earbuds in nice and tight.
Do not let them go.
Don't let them fall out of your head, otherwise they'll get tangled up and you'll be really upset. And listen to Carving It Up with Alexi Toliopoulos.
And guests Cameron James and Tim Hewitt.
Yeah, baby.
Groovy. Good afternoon, Daniacs and Carbuncles, and welcome to another episode of Carving It Up. Now, it's been a minute since our last episode aired on the radio, and we have since become a podcast out there, so if you're tuning in now, you have had to have downloaded us on your own accord, on your own time. You can choose to listen to us whenever you want. We're no longer, you know, have to abide by a schedule put together by the big men upstairs at the Auntie, also known as the ABC.
What?
So we're out there on our own now. And if you're not familiar with what the podcast is all about, this is a podcast dedicated to the work of Dana Carvey, one of the great comedians of our time, known for playing the church lady and pistachio disguise from the Master of Disguise series of films. I am your historian-in-chief, Alexi Toliopoulos, and as always, I'm joined by a couple of guests. Now, these are some comedians out there on the scene, tearing up in their own way, carving their own little slice. Their own little slice of American Pie, if you will, to reference another work of comedy.
Come on, dude.
We've got a returning guest with us today. We've got Mr. Cameron James. Cameron, how are you?
Thank you so much for having me, Alexi. Sorry, have we started recording yet?
Yes, we just started.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
You may see I've got the on-air sign. We're still in one of the studios.
Yeah, okay. And is this, are we allowed to swear on this?
You may. I will have to put a little explicit sign on
the
iTunes.
Yeah, that little E on the iTunes.
I will have to put that little E on there. And when I'm talking about little E, I'm not, of course, talking to Eric Murphy on the the group, also known as E, on Entourage.
Okay, all right.
You know, I'm trying to, you know, spice things up with a little bit of popular culture-flavoured humour.
Yeah, I noticed you referenced American Pie before.
Yes. Are you familiar with American Pie?
Yeah, what's your favourite slice?
Now, what is American Pie?
American Pie to me is pure Hollywood magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that only comes along once, maybe four times a generation.
Now, when you say comes, how are you spelling that?
Of course, if I were to be funny in this moment, I would say C-U-M.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meaning ejaculate. Now, Cameron, you brought a little friend in with you, friendy with you into the studio today.
We've got another friend
here today, another comedian carving it up down in Melbourne, in the Melbourne comedy scene. We've got Tim Hewitt. How are you, Tim?
Truly a pleasure to be here, Alexi. I'm a huge fan of coming it up and glad to just slide on up the and just come up and talk Carvey. What's his name? Dana.
Yeah, Dana Carvey. Yeah.
Well, that's funny stuff, Tim. Thanks for doing it.
All right, man.
He's actually come all the way from Melbourne, so maybe have a little bit of respect for the guy.
Sorry, the roast master is in today.
I mean, I didn't realize it was Sunday. I didn't know we were prepared for a roast.
Well, sorry, Jeff Ross.
Yeah.
He's also a comedian. Thought you guys might like that kind of stuff.
So we do like roast comedy. Tim's a big fan of roasts.
I get very nervous around them, but I do think it is funny. There's nothing funnier than seeing an open micer with severe depression getting rinsed by other open micers that no one knows what they're talking about, and the crowd go, "This is cool and funny."
Yeah, it's a just famous good to roast. Bully people, yeah.
And I go, "This is good, and this is what people want."
People want to go to a dark room filled with maybe 13 other people.
Yes, of course.
And watch a bunch of people they don't know on stage all make fun of someone with autism.
Yeah.
Undiagnosed.
Yeah, oh, obviously undiagnosed.
That's what people love. That's what we love. And that's why we're here. And hey, can I just say, speaking of roasts, what do you do with a roast? You carve it. And here we are on Carving It Up.
Now, that segue comes from Cameron James, a local comedian. We are here on Carving It Up, the Dana Carvey podcast. And this week, we are brought to you by the return of Saturday Night Live. SNL, TV stalwart, back for its fourth season. For its fourth season on TV. They are doing wonderful stuff. They just received an Emmy for being mean and roasting Trump.
Now, who's in SNL this season?
SNL has some of the funniest comedians on there, such as Norm MacDonald and Alec Baldwin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rebel Wilson.
I love our Rebel.
Yeah.
Who were some of your favorite acts on SNL?
Tom Hanks.
Hanks. Hey, just a little fact for you guys. When Tom Hanks signs off, he doesn't put his name, he just puts thanks.
Fuck, man. What do you mean by
that? Is cool.
Is that real?
Yeah, because he's...
Because you would think that, you know, when you're asking for his signature, you want that Tom Hanks signature.
Yeah, but he just writes thanks.
But I don't understand that, because obviously he would be thankful for his celebrity status that you have provided him. But why would I want a little note that just says thanks? I want Tom Hanks' signature.
Oh, you're not seeing. Okay,
hang on, dude.
Because
you're gonna look like a fucking idiot.
Prepare to look like a big fucking idiot. Sorry, just for the listeners
out there, there will be some potty talk.
T as in Tom, Hanks as in Hanks.
Yeah.
T Hanks, thanks.
Oh, sorry, I don't follow.
Okay, all right. Well, don't worry. Maybe you'll get it.
Hang
future.
On a second.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What does SNL mean to you?
SNL to me is pure showbiz magic. What's it for you, Huey?
Just a platform, a little stepping stone to the stars, to the sky and the limit. And a big fan of Dana. I first met him.
Dana
from That 70s Show. She's tall and ginger.
Yeah.
And that's what I like.
That's funny. Yeah.
That's awesome. Dana Carvey. A lot of greats have come out of it. They've used it as a stepping stone to get Hollywood careers. We're talking all sorts at this point. Dame Edna Everidge has been one of the famous ones.
Yeah, she's one of the
it.
Only few Australians to have been on there.
Is that true?
Yeah, we've also had Kenny.
Yep. Mr. G.
He actually was the director of Saturday Night Live for several years.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, almost all of the 5 years it's been running.
And,
But tragically, he was fired because he was accused of being a minstrel.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he was found guilty in the court of public opinion. But it's appropriate you guys have such insight here on Saturday Night Live because today we will be discussing.
Sorry. Do you want to take that again?
God, I'll take that again. Sorry, guys. I didn't mean to say we'll be disgusting because, you know.
Now we're having a break. Can I say something?
Yeah,
just because we're going to cut this out.
Yeah,
anyway.
Of course. Yeah.
I don't think Chris Lilly was minstreling. I think he's really talented and I like his stuff.
I always used to quote Jonah.
Yes,
at lunchtime.
I always used to quote Jonah.
The kids would sort of hold court. Yeah, and they'd get me up there and I'd just do
you
all just the do impressions of the night.
Did you say those were fuck you and stuff like that?
Yeah, fuck you.
Those would have been like your first gigs.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Is that how you got into comedy?
Yes.
Oh, hang on. Are we keeping this?
Oh, this is some good stuff. Okay. Hang on. Let me get back in.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was I saying again?
About first gigs with Hugh.
God, I really fuck it up here, so.
Don't
worry, I'm cutting that out.
Okay.
So, it's so good of you boys to be here today because we will be discussing Saturday Night Live, the best of Mr. Dana Carvey.
Yeah. Mm.
So it is appropriate for a couple of fellas like you here today to be talking about Saturday Night Live. Now, Huey, what does Saturday Night Live mean to you as a young comedian who used to hold court back in the old school days?
Now, mate, look, I started holding court long before I ever saw or knew what Saturday Night Live was. So it was just in me, you know.
Wow.
You know when you're a yarn man and it just consumes you. And I'd see these boys at the lunchtime, right? And they're probably bored, probably playing handball. And I'd pick up the ball and I'd just pop a knee. I go, all right, boys.
Bring it in.
Pop a squat. Maybe I'd seen, you know, Master of Disguise and then I'd just go hell for leather, man. I'd do them all. All the
what
greats.
Sort of characters would you do?
Like Doll's eyes. And I didn't even realize it was a Jaws ripoff. He's in the boat.
Yeah.
It's funny.
There's some really funny stuff in there.
Did you ever do the Turtle Club?
It's hard.
Am I not turtle enough for the Turtle Club?
That's like he's here.
Sorry.
It's like Pistachios.
Yeah.
It's like he's in the room.
Mm.
Now, there's a little fun fact about that scene in the Turtle Club. Cameron, have you ever heard about that scene?
I think we might have covered it the last time I was on your podcast or the time before, perhaps. Yeah.
Yeah. What, do you remember what it was?
Yeah. Okay. So the Turtle Club scene from Master of Disguise 1.
Yeah. The first Master of Disguise film.
Any news on the sequel at all, by the way, Alexia?
Yes, the fifth one is in production right now.
And apparently it's going to be two timelines. So there's going to be old Pistachio Disguise and then it's going to
be
flashing back to a young
Pistachio. Now, who's playing young Pistachio? Because I remember you auditioned for it.
I sent a tape in,
You sent it, so it wasn't a real audition, you just sent a tape in.
No, I mean, I was asked to audition.
You were asked to send a tape in?
So who's your agent do? Because I didn't hear about this at all.
Lorne Michaels.
Okay, that must be handy.
So you work for Broadway Video.
Yeah.
Now, Broadway Video, what is that for the uninitiated?
That's Lorne Michaels' distribution company for cinematic releases and DVD releases.
Well, that's funny stuff.
Oh, my God. I'll have another slice. Cheers. Beautiful roast, Alexi. That had a little crackling on it, that one.
What were we talking about? Okay, so that scene in Master of Disguise was actually filmed on the 11th of September in the year of our Lord, 2001. And they did take a moment's silence on set during that, during the filming of that.
Pretty funny. It's a fun fact.
Yeah, that is a fun
That's
fact.
That's available on imdb.com/funfacts. That is there. Which is weird because it's maybe the least fun thing that has ever been said about Dana Carvey, who actually is one of the world's funniest men.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, do you think only men are funny, Tim?
I'll speak for you here and say no, we both think that plenty of women are funny and plenty of men are funny.
Such as Church Lady.
Church Lady was fucking funny.
Church Lady. No, she's
Dame Edna again, I'll mention her.
Jemay, private school girl. Jeez, I'm sweating up a storm in here. This is a real third degree.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to take a little break. I hope you've been enjoying the podcast so far. And if you have, why don't you hop on over to our Patreon page and give us a few dollars there. But we'll be right back with more Tim Hewitt and Cameron James talking about Dana Carvey on Carving It Up. Thanks for joining us. Sorry, I just need to clear my throat for a second.
That's okay.
You guys having fun?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
There's a good vibe in here.
Yeah,
in
I wasn't clear if we've started yet or
no, we're going.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So this is all part of it.
Yeah, it's you guys are giving a good vibe, so appreciate that.
Thanks, man. Okay. Thanks, dude.
Yeah, do you like the studio here?
Yeah, it's great.
It looks good. Yeah, I like what you've done with the place.
Well, yeah, I have to put my bed in here. So,
do you live here? Or
Yeah, this is in my home.
Okay, yeah. Right. Okay.
It's a little office and stuff like that.
Would you say it's more a podcasting studio than a home?
Yeah. If you had to lean more towards one or the other, what would it be?
Well, I guess I do only record one episode every 3 months. But
so it's your home with a few microphones.
A few microphones.
And an on-air sign.
Yeah. Yeah, there is an on-air sign, but, you know, the light doesn't work on it anymore.
Can I ask you a question?
Because I forgot to turn it off last time, so it's been on for 3 months.
Did you ever used to turn it on when you were banging and be like, you're on air, you're on the
and
mic?
And you just have a little sign out the top saying, quiet, session in progress, and your poor mum would go, oh, boy, he's recording again. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I never thought of that. That would have been really funny.
That would have been really funny. Yeah.
But unfortunately.
You ever do any funny stuff when you're pulling a root?
Not enough time, man. One and done, brother.
Oh, yeah.
All right, it's about time for us to get back into it. So let's do that.
Okay.
Then,
sure.
Shall we?
Yep. Great.
All right, let's flick that on air switch back on in our minds.
Great. Done.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're here for another segment. I'm Carving It Up, the Dana Carvey podcast. I'm here joined today by two of the funniest comedians in Australia. We've got Cameron James. Hello, how are you? Welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having us back. It's great to be here.
You may remember Cameron from our last two episodes. And we've also joined by first-time guest Tim Hewitt. Hello.
Hello, Alexi. Thank you for having me. It's all been so much fun so far.
Now that's a kind of humor we're used to from Tim. Very funny stuff. We're going to be talking about the best of Dana Carvey on Saturday Night Live.
It's almost like you forgot who this is about for a second there.
Almost that were to be the case, but it were not. And I did remember we are talking about Dana Carvey.
I have a
comedian question.
Yes. For both of
you. This is an open forum.
Absolutely. I'd like to direct it to both of you, but I'm going to veer more towards Tim Hewitt.
Yes.
Because I've been on this show before.
Yeah.
Huey, what's your experience with SNL? How much of it have you watched? How much of it have you loved? Or disliked?
Can I be completely honest?
Completely honest.
Yes, that was the most SNL I've ever watched in my entire life.
Really?
Okay.
Fantastic.
Have you watched any sketches online, though?
Little bits here and there.
Yeah.
A lot more of the modern stuff. To be honest, I was two when Dana finished up in 1993. So not much of it. I need to watch more of the class. I need to respect the history.
History of comedy.
I studied modern.
Right.
I didn't do ancient
not
history,
ancient,
dude.
Man. Yeah,
and I keep it popping.
Yeah. So ancient history for SNL. That's more your Kevin Nealon's, your Adam Sandler's, Chris Farley's,
the older cast.
Yeah, Jan Hooks.
Yeah,
Michael McKean, Chris Elliott. Your modern history for SNL. That's probably more. We're talking Andy Samberg.
Andy Samberg, Fred Armisen.
Yep, Will Forte.
Yeah,
perhaps. Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon.
Mm.
Yeah.
Taron Killam.
Yeah.
I thought you were about to say Tarantino. I go, yeah, dude.
Oh,
no, Tarantino.
Imagine if Tarantino was on SNL.
Now, could you imagine that? Now, let's follow that comedic premise. Now, what would that be like if Quentin Tarantino, famous film director, were to direct an episode of Saturday Night Live? One would presume there'd be a lot of blood.
I reckon 100% it would end in a Mexican standoff.
Yes. Mm. Now, how would they twist that? Would that perhaps
pull my
involve
finger?
Horatio Sanz?
Yeah, I think it would Mexican, be a pull my Mexican, finger Mexican standoff.
Yeah.
Mm. And then, but they're all pulling each other's fingers and really ginormous farts.
Mm.
Is that funny? I reckon that's funny.
I think that with a little bit of work, that could be funny.
Yeah.
I reckon he'd probably say, oh, welcome, it's Saturday night, 3/4 of the way through.
Totally mix up the timeline. Yeah,
that's
something
that he's known to do.
Yeah. What's your are you a Tarantino fan, dude?
Bit of a fan, yeah, man.
Yeah. What's your favorite?
He's so funny, man.
Yeah, he's really funny, actually.
I mean, the
his
dialogue
really funny.
The dialogue in those movies, he gets away with a lot of crazy stuff.
I have sort of been inspired by what he says. makes his character say,
yeah,
particularly sort of in Django Unchained.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, Leo's saying it, dude.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's how I often end a lot of my sets, yelling, Leo said it in Django, dude.
You guys were fine with Leo saying it.
And then I put that mic on and say, thanks. Grow up.
Yeah.
Walk off. And it's been going pretty well. Man.
Yeah, I mean, that's really funny.
My favorite Tarantino sketch is probably Dead N-Word Storage from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, that was a sketch movie. A lot of people don't think of it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was sketches, clearly headlined by titles.
They got titles. Mm. And if that's a funny sketch because Tarantino plays a put-upon man who has these two bloodied-up hitmen coming to his home. And he's like, what? My wife's going to be home in like, you know, an hour. We've got to clean up.
He's like, you weren't even supposed to be here today.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real Kevin Smithy sort of style.
It's that 90s oeuvre. You've got the slackers actually putting a bit of work in for a change.
Yeah, if Tarantino... Oh, here's a bit of fun trivia for you. Tarantino actually dated an SNL cast member. Whose name?
Dana Carvey?
I think so.
Okay.
I think he dated Dana Carvey, yeah.
Well, that's interesting because we are here talking about Dana Carvey today, the best of SNL, to celebrate the return of the fifth season of Saturday Night Live, coming back for its fourth year.
So
a little bit of burpee.
And we watched this DVD, and it's a very good quality DVD.
High-quality DVD. This isn't your run-of-the-mill
DVD.
This is a hard-coded DVD.
This is brought to you from Broadway Video. It was produced in 2003 by NBC Studios. The cover photo is copyright Eddie Baskin and used by permission.
Now, Eddie Baskin, who is he?
Well, he's always basking in his accolades because people are always going on about how good his photos are.
Yeah, that's quite...
That's funny, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's pretty funny.
That's ironic because his name is Baskin.
Yeah, that's why I said it.
And
can
he
I
has
say,
achieved.
If he's a photographer, he has... really captured Dana Carvey's little shit-eating grin on the front of that. He's looking like a little pig in shit.
It
man.
Is
look at
a
him.
Shit-eating smirk, isn't
look
it?
Look at him.
That's a smirk of a man that says, yes, I can do a million voices and a million faces.
And a million voices he does do in this special compilation of SNL sketches. Mm. We begin with the first sketch, as we often do here on Carving It Up. Mm. The first sketch in this example is he plays Ross Perot, who was once a president hopeful. Presidential hopeful.
Now, I don't know anything about Ross Perot, so this impression was lost on me.
But I think
I thought it was George Bush Sr. until you said it was Ross Perot.
Well, I have been trained to notice these kind of differences. I think what I would say about Dana Carvey here is that although this is 30 years later that we are watching this and that we no longer know who Ross Perot is, his impression is genuinely very funny and it does cross that divide. I know I sounded very serious then, but I meant every word that I said. That is the truth.
It is a, I don't know what Ross Perot sounds like, but it's a funny performance.
Do you think Melissa McCarthy's Sean Spicer will age to as much of like, who the fuck is this? Because he was there for 2 months.
I think so.
It's just the biggest...
Yeah, absolutely, of course. They all will. All of them. Everything. That's the big thing about SNL that starts to get grating when you watch these best ofs is that there's so much topical political humor in there that we have no idea what it is because we're not from there. We're actually from Australia.
Yes.
And and also it's from 30 years ago. So who knows what the fuck. I mean, if they had Tony Abbott on there or something.
Oh, can I just say?
Yeah, you may, of course.
I'm staying in Mossman.
Yes.
And I straight up saw Tony Abbott this
really?
Morning.
Really? You saw Tony? What?
In a suit, having a cafe latte, and I was pretty starstruck, to be honest.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
a fan, but my first thought was not to headbutt him. I was whoa.
Wow.
There's an air about him.
Was he having a cafe breakfast as well?
He was in a meeting.
He was in a meeting. Oh, and you were
like,
there.
Sort of having a cafe.
Like, what's Tim think about this policy that I'm trying to sneak back in?
And I go, hey, dog.
Mm. Yeah.
How about you? You want to, like, get in touch with the youth again?
Yeah.
And I said, I'm a stand-up comedian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Millennials think I'm fucking sick, dude.
Yeah,
and,
they do. That they
any...
do.
Gosh, how did he say it?
Here we go. Here comes an impression.
I'd love to hear. imagine if this is Tony Abbott speaking.
Yeah, so you embody Tony Abbott and then do what he said.
So imagine, if you will, a pair of budgie smugglers.
Yes.
Here we go. This is one of Huey's famous impressions.
It is. Absolutely. Oh, yes, that was, thank you. And I shook my hand, real firm grip.
Yes.
Yes. And, he's known for that Herculean strength.
And he had a real firm grip. And then he goes, get a nice tight grip. And then,
And then what happened? Things seem to be taking a turn for the sensual.
And then, I don't know, man.
Well, I'll say what you told me earlier. He said, Huey told me, he's a bit shy now, but he leant into Huey and he said, you feel the grip on this hand? And Huey said, yeah. And then he went, I choked the chicken with this hand.
Now, do you think he was talking about an actual chicken, or do you think he was talking about his erect boner?
I think he meant it like he bashes the bishop with that hand. You know what I mean?
Now, when you say bash the bishop, do you think he's talking about Cardinal Pell, or do you think he's talking about
Pell, man.
No,
about another respect. One of his friends.
I think
friends,
he means he pulls his pud with that.
Now, when you say pud, are you talking about the iconic Australian character, the magic pudding? Often pops around Christmas time, and you can eat as much of him as you want, and you'll never run out.
No, I meant more like he was saying that he like chokes his chicken with that.
Squirts the goat, dude.
He squirts his goat. Oh. I don't know how many more ways I can say this.
Well, let's try just one more.
In the words of my Italian uncle Rob, he goes, "You blow with your salami."
Yeah. Yes. That's what we meant.
Now, what would that feel like?
I think it would feel pretty nice.
One might describe it as warm apple pie. but anyway, the next sketch that we're here talking about on Carving It Up, the next work of Dana Carvey, is one of his most iconic characters, the Church Lady. Yeah. Now, how did the Church Lady hold up for you guys? Tim, were you familiar with this character?
I'd never seen the Church Lady, and I thought it was a very funny character. Not, I mean, I don't really know what the joke was a lot of the time, but it was very, I thought it was good. I thought it was one of my favorites. So
one would presume that it's just a conservative lady,
yeah,
not unlike Tony Abbott.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon Tony would find her like a handsome and
handsome woman.
And proud and good, strong, conservative woman, and
he's in the room.
And I think the Church Lady would say, as we all agree, everyone in this podcast agrees, it's okay to vote no.
Yes, I think she
would.
I think she would say that.
She would.
I
now,
feel
the
like
Church
she...
Lady came about from stand up. That's a voice he used
now,
to do in his
stand up
routine.
That's something that you guys also ply your trade with.
Yeah. Now Dana Carvey was a stand up comedian. He wasn't a sketch player, not an improviser. He used to do voices and characters on stage. The Church Lady was one of those voices that he used to do from his childhood. He used to. Many have called him a disciple of Robin Williams.
Isn't that special?
That is special. And it was exciting for me to see Dana actually act alongside Robin in a clip on this DVD.
Yes, what was that clip?
It was a Mork and Mindy inspired sketch where it seemed to be Dana was playing young Robin Williams. And Robin Williams was playing his own father in a bit of meta casting.
Yes. Now that would be something very funny.
Yeah, I think it's exciting to see a man.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Or a woman work with one of their heroes. And that's what we saw during that sketch.
Well, I appreciate that sentiment. Thank you for joining me here
tragically,
today.
Tragically, we did lose Robin.
Mm.
Yeah, so.
Let's take a 1 minute silence. So we'll be doing that now. So I'll just edit that in.
Yeah.
We can just keep chatting.
Okay, so no. You're going to cut the...
I just put that in there.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah,
that's
so
awesome.
That's just... ladies and gentlemen, you just heard our minute silence for Robin
Hey,
Williams.
Before we go back into the podcast, can I just say, did you guys hear that Robin Williams... When Robin Williams died, he was choking his chicken. Did you hear that? That's crazy. I mean, what a way to go out. If that happened to me, they'd probably say he died doing what he loved. Because I love to rub a... fat water sperm out. Anyway, yes. Let's go back into the podcast.
Sorry. It was just a nice moment to really think about everything Robin's done.
Yeah.
It's important to pay respects to the kings of comedy.
The greats.
Such as Cedric the Entertainer and Bernie Mac. From the DVD, The Kings of Comedy, directed by Spike Lee.
Yeah.
He's also, imagine if he had directed Saturday Night Live. What would that be like?
I reckon every sketch would have been set during a heat wave.
Yeah, I think so. Funny. So let's move on to one of our favorite sketches of the night. Now, this is I'm going to put a pair of sketches together. Mm. This is a sketch called The Pepper Boys.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So this is a sketch set in an Italian restaurant. Now, Tim, you are of Italian heritage. Is that true?
That is correct.
Wait a minute. You're Paisano?
Half Paisan, brother.
Wow.
My mother, Marilina Maria Mamarella. Big fan of this sketch. This got me going.
It was incredibly crook and went for so long.
It went for about 11 minutes.
And he plays two WOG characters and they're both real horny.
Yeah.
Very horny.
Real horn dogs.
Now, the Greeks and the Italians, much like you and myself, we're known for being quite a fiery and passionate people. Do you think that Carvey has what it takes to embody this burning flame in his loinal area and his heart?
Yeah, I think.
Do you think he can do that?
I think he tapped into a real Guido energy.
And he was pretty, he was pretty horny, I thought. And I noticed it and I went,
okay. I felt it. The Pepper Boy character, he's a pepper boy at a restaurant. He's the one who puts the cracked pepper on people's plates.
Mm.
And he makes it very, very sexual to the point that almost every grind that he gives on that pepper grinder seems to incite orgiastic and orniastic delight in the women who he...
Oh, and men.
And men.
And he, men.
Yeah.
Everyone got a bit of the pepper.
Yeah.
Everyone got a bit of the
bit
crack.
Of hot pepper in there. And I mean, I got to say, I found it pretty horny.
It was quite horny stuff. It was very funny, I thought.
Yeah.
I'd never seen this sketch before. I thought Dana Carvey was absolutely hysterical in it.
Yeah, I think so too.
And not to be outdone by another very funny man who he had taken under his wing in this sketch known as Mr. Adam Sandler, who would go on to do a great many things, including starring in the movie The Ridiculous Six, available on Netflix. And we are brought to you today by The Ridiculous Six. Starring Adam Sandler.
It
can be currently seen on Netflix, and might I say, it is hysterical.
No. Okay, great stuff. Great stuff. Now the other sketch that you were going to pair it with, can I make an educated guess and say that it was going to be another sketch set in a restaurant in which Dana Carvey and Adam Sandler play two different horny Italian ladies?
Yes. It's a totally different sketch.
Same
totally
set, I'm pretty sure.
Are you sure? Very similar.
Similar wigs.
Yeah, similar set, similar wigs. Similar accents.
But they were not exactly the same accents, which blew my little mind.
Yeah. And they just went, all right, it's the same. It's not the same character. So this is not world building.
No, this is a totally different parallel universe, not unlike what we are in right now.
Yeah. and in that one, the premise was that all Italians are disgusting root rats.
Yes.
Am I right?
And I can't argue with that. Yeah, I think that was bang on.
Every one of them was trying to make out with Kirstie Alley.
Yeah.
They kept on kissing Kirstie Alley on the cheek.
Calling
her
Bellissima.
Yeah.
Perhaps licking her cheek as well.
And my favorite bit was when the Sandman just hooked his little finger in, just had a straight look down at Bops.
Yeah.
Went, yeah, Bellissimo.
I think he had a look down the top and he made a very famous Adam Sandler noise where he went like, like approval.
Yeah.
Which is great stuff. If you're a woman and a man looks down your top and makes that noise, congratulations on the set, love. That's all I got to say.
Let the record show that us three boys did actually guffaw during this.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the... I'd never seen either of those two sketches before. Honestly, two of the funniest SNL sketches I've ever seen, except they did have cop-out endings. Especially the first one where it just says these two boys went on to make their own pepper-themed restaurants and it was just in scrolling text.
Like, they had 11 minutes to fill and they couldn't even write an ending to that.
A lot of these sketches in modern comedy timing felt very long.
Well, that's a common complaint made against SNL is that they do have to fill 90 minutes of airtime every week and the sketches outstay their welcome. Mm. 11 minutes is too long where the old joke is that a pepper grinder kind of looks like a dick.
Yeah.
That's the whole joke.
Cameron James spitting something a little blasphemous for this podcast.
Sorry.
Brought to you by, might I remind you, the return of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. Mm. But it has changed. SNL is now leaning more into digital shorts.
It's funnier. It's a lot funnier faster. Now, just to let them know.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Well worth dipping your feet back in.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Tim, for saying that. That's really good. Mm. Cameron, do you want to say something positive about it now? Like about how they actually are leading the resistance against Trump, perhaps?
Yeah. I just want to say that they are definitely making up for humanizing Trump during the election.
Not unlike former SNL alumni Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon.
Who Fallon famously, he did rustle the toupee on Trump's head, which
can I just say what Tony Abbott thought about that?
Yeah, absolutely. What would he say?
He was like,
this is good. Fuck, this is good.
You are... on the campaign trail, you often have to do things that are against what you believe.
Oh, he's got something caught his throat. I love it.
You know, he got in. Yeah. Thank God. Hillary, crook, and big Trump man. And keep doing what you're doing, Donnie.
Wow, he calls him Donnie.
Yeah, Donnie.
They must have known each other.
Yeah.
But
in the biblical sense, I'm sure.
Yeah, so we can be grateful in this day and age for SNL, Saturday Night Live, for giving us that little glimmer of hope here in the dark times.
Mm. Absolutely. Can I ask you guys what your favorite sketches were in this compendium?
I would say one of my favorite sketches was one of the most experimental sketches I've ever seen in Saturday Night Live history. Mm-hmm. It was a sketch called Carcinio, which was focused on Johnny Carson, who at that point in time was a talk show host on TV who perhaps was threatened by the young guns coming in to take his title as a reigning king of late night comedy, including Arsenio Hall, a very funny man with a lot of energy. So this was a compendium of putting those two together. What if Johnny Carson were Arsenio Hall?
So it was essentially a vehicle to put Dana's Carson impression in the costume and hairstyle of Arsenio Hall, using the catchphrases of Arsenio, but in Carson's voice.
Mm.
And I liked it. You loved it, though.
I just thought this was absolutely fucking bizarre.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry for spitting some French there, but I honestly thought this was an insane sketch.
Yeah.
And I think it aged well because it just became more insane, like becomes more niche and specific as we get 30 years on in time. Because back then, it's socially relevant, culturally relevant. Now it's just like, this is just two people that have almost the same name.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
I don't know who Arsenio Hall was. And I just thought the whole sketch was trying to make, like, Carson, like, Spanish. Or like, I thought that's all it was, like, trying to make him, like, cool. And I bet now it's funnier. I still enjoyed it.
Yeah. So Arsenio Hall, you may know him from the movie
Coming to America. Oh, Eddie Murphy.
He plays the guy that hangs out with Eddie Murphy's character when they come to America.
Yeah,
when
you say the title. How are you spelling that?
I'm spelling it COMING.
Excellent.
America. If I were to try and perhaps punch up that title to make it more pornographic, I would say Jizzing in America.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ferreira.
Okay. All right. Ugly Betty ref. Great. My favorite sketch was a little sketch called Massive Head Wound Harry.
Oh yes. Yeah. You frothed this little sketch.
Yeah, that was really silly. So the whole premise is that it's a dinner party and Dana plays the titular character, Massive Head Wound Harry.
Yeah.
And he has a massive head wound, which he is bleeding from, and all the guests are trying to ignore it but can't stop being disgusted by it.
This is not for the squeamish.
So he bleeds on the food, and he keeps getting his disgusting open wound on people, and then he lays down on the lounge, and the dog starts eating at his open head wound. And
really tugging on the wing. Like, really going. Looks like he's really ripping chunks out of the skull.
And maybe I loved it because it's clearly a wig being pulled off by a dog, and Dana has to hold onto it with his own hand. And that's the sort of behind-the-curtains shit that I like to see. Yeah.
I loved it, dude, because there was a doggo.
Yeah,
there was a doggo,
yeah. Absolutely.
It's a doggo.
If you were
now,
a
that
dogger.
Is part of your branding too.
it is
to
dude.
Say how much you love, as you call them, puppers and
puppers,
doggos.
Doggos, yeah. Man. I'm always looking at doggos, tag girls and doggo photos. Like, yeah, I eat you.
Yeah,
if it's like a doggo being cute or like. I'll tag a girl and be like, oh, it me, if it's like a grumpy little pupper.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Like a fat little puppo. Because I've actually put on 8 kilos in the last 2 years. I'm pretty subconscious about it, but
I think you look great, man.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Honestly, you're beautiful.
Yeah, I think you're really beautiful.
Actually needed that, but yeah.
You're actually very handsome, very strong, and you have a good bod.
Really gorgeous boy. Really.
Yeah. Are you guys vibing what I'm vibing right now?
Yeah, dude.
I would say that it is quite steamy in the studio here today.
Yeah, and your bed is just next to us.
Yes.
It's got a lot of bananas on there.
Yes, bananas. Actually, similar shape to a man's member.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now,
my favorite member.
My favorite member of, what you
say? SNL, Dana Carvey. Had some other great sketches in this. Well, one that I would love to... I would be remiss if I didn't bring
it
up.
Yes, it would, because you are a host of another podcast.
Is the Wayne's World sketch that we see in this. Now, I bring it up because I do host a rival podcast to you called Mic Check with Cameron James and Alexi Toliopoulos.
It's quite a successful show.
Of which you are the co-host, Alexi.
Yes, often I have appeared on that for every episode of its 51 episode, right?
Yeah, and this is an exciting one for me because I get to see Mike interacting with Dana in the iconic characters. And
now,
can I just
is
say,
this something when you see these two boys palling around? Is this something that would make you horny, baby?
Wow, it's been a while since I've been asked that. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah, it did. It definitely perked me up when we watched it and the sketch came on because Mike brings a certain joie de vivre, a or what the French
quality.
Call a certain, I don't know what.
to comme ci comme ça.
Yeah,
I get it.
To the table. It's and it, those characters are so lived in. They're so beloved to me and to you as well.
Yes,
I
really do love Garth and Wayne.
Seeing Garth and Wayne together was a thrill to me. But I will say that their top 10 sketch lists haven't aged as great.
This was top 10. Top 10,
top 10,
top 10 USSR,
bad things about the
USSR disbanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would be, you know, Ukraine and Russia no longer being one giant force out there in the political landscape.
Really funny stuff, dude. This is really funny stuff. Yeah.
I appreciate your warmth.
Yeah, yeah.
And immediately when this did come on, Huey, you did say... 10 seems like a bit much.
It's long.
Well, they charged through it, really.
They did charge through it.
But considering how long Pepper Boys was.
Yeah, yeah.
A pretty quick 10.
It wasn't getting a hell of a lot, but as characters, they are undeniably charming and funny. Mm. The audience are very warm to Garth and Wayne. They love seeing the two of them interact. They love that Wayne is cocky and exuberant, while Garth is... a little more reserved and nebbish,
I
say. Yeah.
You do dare, and who dares wins.
It was very exciting for me to see my hero up there, and it did make me horny. And if I could ask the question to you guys, did anything at any point in this SNL DVD make either of you feel horny?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely the Italian stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But also what made me very horny was Mike... and Dana being Mick Jagger and
Keith Richards.
In a sketch that was comedy, but drama.
But quite like a, playing the real...
A two-hander.
scene.
It was a one-act
something you might do when you're 15, treading the boards in after-school drama class. You know, you got to put on a little play with your mates. And
the premise of the two-hander play was that it was the day of Mick's wedding to Jerry Hall. Mm. And Keith was giving him, I guess, a pep talk.
Yes.
To give him a bit of Dutch courage to go down the aisle.
Yes.
And it was played not so much as caricature of two famous rock stars, but more as a genuine dialogue between two friends.
It was almost as if these comedians were known for playing those characters and they had to give them a send-off because they would no longer be hanging out in real life. Where, as far as I know, Mike has only played... him one other time.
Yeah. Mm. But he really gave it the lip treatment.
He gave it a little lip.
But I just thought it was sick just seeing Donna just suck down an entire tarry for the sake of a sketch for no other reason other than to just sort of...
Can I pose a question to you both, especially for you, Cameron?
Mm-hmm.
In this episode, we have talked about how perhaps Randy... Dana Carvey is. In this episode, he does play against Mike Myers, and I don't see too much horniness exuding from him.
From Mike.
Yes, and I would perhaps pose you the question, is Dana Carvey hornier than Mike Myers? Because he's copping some licks on some ladies in this episode.
Dana does kiss a few girls in this. He licks Kirstie Alley's entire face.
And during that Italian bellissimo sketch, Mike Myers is present, but he exits the scene before any of the horny escapades take place.
And he returns when it is over. Now, that's interesting. You've actually made me think of something I've never thought of before, but it's... I think of one image when I think of Dana Carvey, and that is his famous shit-eating grin, as seen on the cover of this SNL Best Of DVD.
He's got these thin lips,
photo taken by
squeezed together.
Barry Baskin or something.
Or something like that.
And accompanying the shit-eating grin are two little eyes,
beady,
much like a doll's eyes, that are twinkling and sparkling with mischievous, impish delight. A delight... that we see quite often in my hero, Mike Myers.
Mm.
I think Dana is probably as horny, as horny as Mike Myers. And the proof is in the pudding. The guy has two kids. I mean, he's rooted twice at least.
That is pretty
That's
good,
quite actually. A few times. I do like those odds.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're imagining probably to make one kid, maybe it takes 5 roots. So he's rooted like 10 times probably.
Minimum.
Yeah, minimum 10 times.
There's proof of at least 10 roots.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So that's quite a horny guy, in fact, over a lifetime. That's quite a few.
I just
have racked up those double digits.
Yeah, that is heaps, man. Not that enough fingers and toes, probably,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah,
probably not. I mean, sick. I can only count to 10 on
I mean, I think the guy's really horny. What do you think, Tim?
I think he's real... I think, yeah, he possibly, in these SNL sketches, steals Mike's mojo, baby.
Yeah, I think he might be.
Not unlike the character of Fat Bastard who steals Austin Powers' mojo and then lets Dr. Evil drink its purple liquid goo.
Yeah. Is that his cum?
Yeah, what is that, actually?
Is that his cum?
I thought it was liquefied balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck.
I think it might be cum. Anyway. And when
how
I
would
say
you spell
cum,
that?
I mean C-O-M-E, yeah.
Yeah, it's his come hither.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is his mojo charm.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah, yeah. This is great. Yeah,
thank
that was my...
<Thank you.
laughs> Anyway, Massive Head Wound Harry was my favorite sketch, is what I was trying to say. You liked the Italian one.
I liked
the,
and I particularly liked...
Italian, sorry.
Sorry.
Italian,
Italian
actually.
Please.
sorry for interrupting this thing of ours with that talk. Sorry.
come on. These fucking skipperoos. Anyway, I have a real split second that I really enjoyed out of the whole thing was just Adam Sandler coming out in these little tight little black little G-string in the Italian scene. Just
God,
ripped,
honestly,
tanned,
finally
ripped.
You see him hiding away in those disgustingly humongous, saggy, baggy clothes that he wears on the red carpets. And you just want to say, show off that bod.
Yeah, yeah.
Wear something tight, a little form-fitting, perhaps even a tank top.
He is a hottie with a body, that's for damn sure. But nowadays, he's probably got a bit of dad bod, and that ain't so bad.
Funny stuff, Cameron.
Thanks,
dad
man.
Bod. I understand that reference from the modern age.
Where does your Carbon It Up host characters fit on the spectrum, by the way?
I would say he is actually quite unstable.
I think he's more Garth than Wayne.
Perhaps he's perhaps Garthier than Wayne. He's someone that is a bit of an outsider, doesn't quite fit in everyday society, and he has to think very carefully about what he's going to say, otherwise he might get stuck in a loop where he doesn't know what he's going to say, and there's no way to really kind of break out of it, because he's just kind of...
Okay, thank you so much for answering my question. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Well, I am.
okay. All right. Are you all right?
I'm.
Okay. Great stuff. Great stuff. Can I ask a question in perhaps in summation?
yes. There's one sketch that we didn't discuss that I would love to
also
bring up. This is what has been known as an iconic sketch on Saturday Night Live. It did open the 11th season of Saturday Night Live on the Rolling Stones list of the 50 greatest SNL sketches. It is rated number 7. We watched it today, and it took us a long time to zone into what it actually was.
Mm.
This is a sketch known as Chopping Broccoli. Chopping broccoli.
That was a good impression. Chopping broccoli.
It's very fun to do. So this sketch is used to start as Dana Carvey's stand-up comedy, where he would say it's funny how pretentious rock stars can be, because it looks like they are always about to sneeze or vomit, and they sounds like they're just making up words as they go along, which I understand a lot of comedy is based around someone just kind of going on a whim with what they think words being strung together would form a funny sentence in
Jesus
kind of a...
Jesus Christ! Fucking hell! Oh,
as Jim Carrey would have said, somebody stop me.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. And this pretentious rock star character that he plays sings a song that makes no sense, but it's sung in a very earnest style.
Yes.
Many of the lyrics
now,
are
now, when you
around...
say earnest, and you're talking about comedy, do you mean Ernest from the movies such as Ernest Goes to Camp?
Do I mean the character Ernest P. Worrell as played by Jim Varney? No, I do not, but thank you. Thanks for making me clarify and stopping me mid-sentence when I was trying to steer us towards some form of sanity. Chopping Broccoli is an iconic sketch for reasons unbeknownst to me. Apparently, you said it was in the top seven.
Yeah, it was number seven on the top Rolling Stone 50 SNL sketches of all time.
Okay. And did you think it was funny?
No. And then we watched the audition that Dana Carvey did where he performs that sketch live on New York, actually in LA because it was an audition. Mm-hmm. And it was really funny. It works as stand-up.
Yeah, I think it was funny as
stand-up.
There
was so much build-up that wasn't funny. It was just going like, hey, you're a rock star. Now let's hear what you got.
Yeah. I don't understand why it's such an iconic bit. But it was fun to see it, I guess, and it's nice to see a little bit of SNL ancient history, if you will. A modern example of modern history might be Lazy Sunday.
Oh, yes.
Lazy Sunday.
Yeah, or perhaps Dick in a Box.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Dick in a box.
Fucking pisser, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I often tag a babe, like, it'd be like a doggo papa, then I just send her, like, have you seen this fucking pisser clip?
Yeah,
and
I'd
just tag her in Dick in a Box, man. Yeah. It's so fucking...
I sometimes tag chicks in Jizz in My Pants.
Oh, yeah.
And I always say, this is me, or whatever, and they go... All right, this guy comes too soon, and they get their expectations real low.
Yes.
And then when we finally do copulate, and I last upwards of 17 minutes, they are very surprised and happy.
That is
very impressive, cool, actually.
I'm actually
quite intimidated to hear that you are such a...
ferocious lover. Yes.
If you will.
I will.
Ladies and gentlemen, that actually brings us to the end of our scheduled time here at the studio. This room is needed for something else.
Okay.
In a few minutes time.
Yeah. Wait a second.
Jeez, that really segue.
That's a real segue out of Jizz in My Pants. What we know is your bedroom. What else could it be needed for?
Well, let's... wait and see.
Let's
shall
not.
We?
Let's get out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me on perhaps what might be the final episode of Carving It Up, the only podcast that goes through three works of Dana Carvey's career. It's been a pleasure to have you, Cameron, joining me once again. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Do you have anything
so
you'd like to just give a shout out to?
Yeah, please listen to Mic Check with Cameron James and Alexi Toliopoulos. You can find it on
iTunes. Wrapping
up
phase one there.
Phase one of the MCU is wrapping up. Phase two will be coming in very soon. Please go to iTunes, give us 5 stars, and why not recommend a super specific actor-based podcast, for example, Carving It Up, which could perhaps be all about the works of Dana Carvey.
That sounds like it could be quite laborious and pointless and hard to do.
Maybe.
I think it's fun.
Sorry.
Tim, do you have anything you want to give a little promotion to?
Yeah, sure. Got a sketch series coming out on Comedy Central with Aaron Gox called Goxie's Classics. There's a few of us. I just write and do little characters, much like Dana. do little voices and stuff. Now we're coming in Comedy Central, and follow the page. Hot Dad Productions. We've got a few other sketches up there. And just get around my highly underrated Twitter account, I guess.
Yeah, yes, get on Huey's socials.
At Tim Hewitt and then just Timmy Hugh for that gram, if you want to see some more puppers and doggos.
If you perhaps would like to be tagged in one of his photos, you could follow him on Insta saying,
slip and slide into them DMs, brother.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cameron, you got Twitter at I am Cameron James.
Uh-huh,
I'm on Twitter
on
at This is Alexi. I do not have Instagram. I just have this one project.
Excellent stuff. Thank you so much for having us on your show.
It was a pleasure. Now I shall leave this mortal coil.
Whoa, what, are you dying?
Oh, I thought that just meant I'm going to just hop to bed for a few minutes.
Oh,
okay, we got to go, dude.
Please leave that mortal thing coiled up, please. Don't uncoil it.
It's my check. It's my check. The party.